This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Harvey Weinstein is a singular force in the movie industry. He and his brother Bob founded Miramax Films in 1979 and produced artsy, edgy, richly textured films that won awards and admiration. The Crying Game, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, and Shakespeare in Love. Offbeat commercial hits like Pulp Fiction. They took a chance on dream projects like Good Will Hunting. The Weinstein brothers sold Miramax to Disney in 1993 and started an independent company in 2005. Last year, they tried to buy back Miramax and failed. It was one of the biggest entertainment stories of the year, in part because no other producer has a filmography as varied and as deep as Harvey Weinstein, including this year's Academy Award winner for Best Picture, The King's Speech.
What are you doing?
Get up! You can't sit there! Get up!
Why not? It's a chair.
No, that is not a chair. That is St. Edward's chair.
People have carved their names on it.
Listen to me!
Listen to you? By what right?
Because I have a right to be, and I have a voice!
Yes, you do.
Harvey Weinstein joins us from his office in New York City. Mr. Weinstein, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure to be here.
And when you saw, I guess, the first script of The King's Speech, what did you recognize potentially in this film that other producers might have overlooked because it, didn't have the obvious traits to appeal to a younger demographic?
You know, I'm lucky enough that at this stage of my career, it's what I think is appealing, you know, and it was so emotional and so rich that I took all that common wisdom of period pieces, stories like this, never work, you know, took all of that and just said, you know what, this movie makes me feel good. It's inspirational. I love this story, a piece of history that people don't know about. How inspirational. And the special effects, mm-hmm. I mean, all the 3D big special effects are fantastic actors in a room acting.
What kind of difference does an Oscar campaign make? Because you're often cited as the inventor of that particular media.
Scott, it happened to me a while ago, and I think the guy who best summed it up was John Travolta. He called me one day. He said, I just saw The Piano. He said, if that didn't have like 9 Academy nominations, there's no way in hell I would have seen that movie. And he said, I'm glad I did. He said, Harvey, you use those Academy Awards like when we were kids, we used to have the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. And I think, you know, for a large portion of the American public and actually the world public, the Academy Awards is the most meaningful film award there is. And it is a seal of approval. And it says, go see this movie. And, you know, maybe English royalty movies about stuttering isn't your thing, but you're going to love this movie.
What makes a good film?
A good film is a good writing, first and foremost, because the writer starts with a blank page. And those words have to capture an imagination of a director, somebody like myself, producers, actors. And I think a good film is something that moves you and something that entertains you and something that, you know, enhances your understanding of life.
But what makes the difference between you saying yes to a project and I'd love to, but I can't?
It's the quality of the scripts that I get. It's all about reading. People say to me all the time, how can I get in the movie business? Or how do I get there? How can I have your job? And I just say, you know, I had an unfortunate accident when I was a 10-year-old kid. I played Cowboys and Indians. I was on the losing side of a guy who had like kind of a musket, like a Davy Crockett musket, and he poked my eye out. For 6 months, I stayed home because both my parents worked. But there was a librarian next door. Her name was Frances Goldstein. I knocked on her door one day and said, I'm bored out of my brain, you know. Can I read something? And thus began my education into the world of reading. So for those people who like to do what I do, the answer is read. Read everything. I read the Americans. I read the Russians. And I still to this day read a book or two every week and read every magazine article I can get my hands on.
Do you read the magazine articles about you?
Thankfully, there are few and far between lately, but there was one really good one in Vanity Fair.
Is your temper as bad as they say it is?
It's much better. It was as bad as they say it was.
Really?
Yep.
What changed?
I think the fact that I'm the father of 4 daughters, and I realized that, you know, they have all had, in their own way, terrorist training, you mean, at one time or another, and having been held hostage on numerous accounts, you mean, you know, by them, you know, I have mellowed over time. And I've also realized that they are the boss, and I'm living in their movie.
We're speaking with this year's Oscar-winning film producer, Harvey Weinstein. Let me ask you a bit about the failed effort to buy back Miramax. What did you learn from reverses over the past few years that maybe you didn't learn from success?
You know, I had 25 years in a row of unparalleled success, and then I had 3 years where, you know, it all seemed upside down. And I will tell anybody who goes through that, at the time, it's painful and torturous, but it's so good to come out the other side because I appreciate what I do. I've never enjoyed winning the Oscar like King's Speech, because normally I'm one of those guys who wins something and then 2 minutes later is going, what's next? Now I'm trying to continue the Oscar celebration for at least a month.
Do you see yourself as a businessman or an artist, or is your art the deal?
I see myself as a shortstop for the New York Yankees. Just unfortunately no one else did, you know, and I've just been jealous of Derek Jeter from the beginning of time.
So in other words, you don't see yourself as either.
I think in order to do what I do, you have to have an understanding of business. Mm-hmm. And then I think you also have to understand art. And disappointing, you know, people who think that I have this incredibly romantic life, I do. I have a great wife, great kids, and great family. But I spend a lot of time watching movies, studying movies, and I love the history of movies. So I am a geek on weekends who, like, watches old Chinese movies and all sorts of Italian language movies. And I'm constantly trying to improve myself in the area that I've chosen to work at.
You mentioned that you're just taking a month off to enjoy the victory of the King's Speech.
I'm still working, but I am, you know, I'm just trying to give myself 30 days to enjoy this at least.
But if we could talk about a movie you have coming out at the end of this month. Julian Schnabel has directed it. It's called Miral. What can you tell us about this film?
Well, it's probably one of the more incendiary films I've been involved with, and it tells the story of Palestine from the other side, the Palestinian side. It's based on a book by Rula Jibril, who is a young, beautiful woman of Palestinian descent who went to this school, you know, where they wear uniforms, the way my girls wear uniforms in their schools, and all sorts of kids who go to those schools where they wear uniforms. But this is in the middle of Jerusalem. It's a dangerous area. A young Palestinian woman started it, you know, for refugees. And you see the life they have. It's so similar to ours, and yet it's the story told from their point of view. It's just, you know, there's this Israeli scene of where they take an innocent woman and they bring her down to a court, you know, to then torture her for something she didn't do.
We are here for Miral Shaheen. Miral Shaheen, does she live here?
She is my daughter. There must be some...
Call her, please.
She's asleep. It's very late. Yes.
Sit down. Sit down.
I don't understand.
Ana Miral Shaheen.
See, she's all ready.
Don't worry, Baba. I'll be back soon.
Miral, there is some misunderstanding. Please, you cannot take her. She is a school child. She is innocent. She knows nothing. I will answer.
This is a movie in my own life that's become a source of discontent. My mom says, you know, great, you won the Oscar. Now, you know, I'm going on strike against you if you're involved in this movie. She's probably wondering if she'll lose her membership in Hadassah. And maybe that's the joke of it, but I've actually had serious, serious, serious problems. You know, in Toronto, there was a show for Julian Schnabel on, you know, at one of the museums. I had to write a letter. I had to call people. You know, I don't understand why this movie should have the kind of, you know, backlash that it's having. But it should be embraced, because you will never understand the Middle East unless you embrace that culture too. And I think one of the problems about the Middle East is that the Palestinian conflict has lingered too long. We need to find the solution. This is an open window into that. And it's also a hell of a good story. I'm not running a documentary on this movie. It's not polemical in that way. You will watch a story that will entertain and move you.
Let me just ask you one more question. Recognizing that you're, by any reasonable definition, sitting on top of the world now, is it hard not to be able to get back the company that not only you and your brother started, but was named after your parents?
I think it was hard, and it is hard. You know, the people who bought the company, you know, ironically enough, are great people, and they're fun, and they've given us projects to do. You mean like to do a sequel to some of the great films that we made over the years, and that's been really rewarding. And they're approachable, and they recognize Mike Lang, who's the CEO of the company, every day recognizes, what Miramax is all about, and hopefully the Camelot that it was for movies. So it is tough, but it's by the same token, it has made me appreciate things. So out of loss has come appreciation. I think in these guys' hands, Miramax will have a good future, and they've allowed me to be part of that in some small way because it is their thing. But hopefully we can create a new Miramax.
You haven't gotten mad during this interview at all.
I haven't.
Thanks so much for making time for us.
Scott, thank you.
Harvey Weinstein produced The King's Speech, which, of course, won Best Picture at this year's Academy Awards, speaking with us from his offices in New York. Thank you.